sing. We gotta get going. We got a lot today to share. We have a great God, and we're gonna praise Him today. So I'm glad you're here. Our God.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Again, our God is greater.
Our God is stronger.
Higher than any. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Then what could stand again?
Okay.
Thank you, Al.
Oh, a little help from our friends, right? That's great.
Wow. Wasn't doing that before, so I don't know.
Well,
my hands aren't strong enough to crank that thing. I needed your help.
Well, I know. They moved the mic. You know, Easter we had three people over here, so we used your mic, and so consequently,
my mic, not my mic.
You know,
it's your mic. I'm borrowing your mic all the time.
That's true. That's true.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, this is a great day. Christ is risen. Risen indeed. What a great Easter we had. You know, He rose so that we can rise too. And I hope you know that. I hope you believe that. We're going to talk a little bit about it today. But let's move to another song. All right, Will?
Let's get right into the next song.
You raised me up. That's it. That fit right in there.
It's perfectly. Almost like you planned it or something.
I must have.
When I am down and my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Let's sing that together one more time. You raise me
up so I can walk the mountain. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Thank you, Will.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Join with me in a prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can gather here to hear of the assurance that you give us of your presence in our lives, that you truly do raise us up. Some of us need it very much today because things are not what they should be, at least in our mind. You know what's happening. You know what's going on. And so we turn to you and we ask your strength, your power, your presence. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right. Please be seated. You need a little rest here. We've got a reading today. It comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 19th chapter. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, no offense, Will,
I knew you were going to say something about me. Not everyone can be a monster like you, Al.
That's right. That's right. You know, we all have our problems.
It's not a problem for me.
Well, I didn't think it was. He could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, fig tree, to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's the word of God. We join in another song. You love me anyway. We rise and sing, please.
The question was raised as my conscience fell, a silly little lie. Didn't mean much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. But the future's so far, my heart's so frail, I think I'd rather stay inside. But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me, how you love me. It took more than my strength to simply be still, to seek but never find. All the reasons we change, the reasons I doubt, and why do loved ones have to die? But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me. I am the thorn in your crown, but you love me anyway. I am the sweat from your brow, but you love me anyway. I am the nail in your wrist, but you love me anyway. I am Judas's kiss, but you love me anyway. See, I am the man who yelled out from the crowd for your blood to be spilled on this earth-shaking ground. Yes, and I turned away with a smile on my face, with this sin in my heart, trying to bury your grace. Then alone in the night, I still called out to you, so ashamed of my life, my life, my life. But you love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me. You love me. Yes, you love me. Yes, you love me. Yes, you love me. How you love me. How you love me. How you love me.
Please be seated. Great song.
Great song. Great song.
How valuable are you? How valuable are you really? Have you thought about it? How valuable would you say perhaps you are to others? To yourself? To God. In America, in our society, we tend to have like four things that we base our worth upon. I mean, when you look at people and see them interact, there are four things that really people look for in life. Number one, we judge it by the way we look, by way of our appearance. If I look good, then I must be good. And Lord knows what some people will do in order that they might look good. How much money they might spend so they will look good. And number two, we judge it, our worth, by way of our achievements, the things that I've done. What have I accomplished? What are my successes? How successful am I? If I've done a lot, proven a lot, I'm probably okay. Number three, we judge it by way of approval, the approval that we get from others. What would you say is your approval rating? How well are you liked? If I'm liked by a lot of people, then I sort of feel good about myself. I must be okay. And fourth, lastly, in this great culture of ours, we tend to judge our worth by way of our affluence. Affluence. What do I have? How much do I have? How much have I accumulated? Is it more than someone else? Because if it's not more than him, I might have to worry about something. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Do you see the problem here? Any one of those four things can change in your life, like in a second, in a flash, in a moment. They can change quickly. In fact, in one way or another, probably all of these things will change in time for you. Beauty fades.
Al, you still look really good, though.
Thank you. I'm glad you noticed.
You're old and you look good.
You make my day. I do too.
I do too.
But beauty fades. Sooner or later, it's going to hit me. Probably never hit my wife, but it will hit me.
Exactly.
Our success, well, it's oftentimes surpassed by someone else. You know? Somebody beats what we have done. Our records are broken. Our possessions, they wear out. And people that we love, they die. Or they leave us. They abandon us. Even more than that, sometimes they even turn on us. They put us down. They reject us. So if you build your self-worth on such things as I have described here, what are you going to feel about yourself when you are old and ugly and broke? Tell me. There might be a problem. Do you know what you need? You need something that won't change. Something that will stand the test of time. And there's only one thing that can do that. And let me tell you what it is. It is what God thinks about you. What God thinks about you is what really counts and will last for all eternity. A number of weeks ago, I shared with you a story about an Old Testament guy by the name of Jacob. Maybe you remember that story. It was at the first of the year. And Jacob came to learn a most important lesson as he found himself wrestling with God. Jacob, he found himself all alone. And if you will remember the story, of course, he was in a very bad relationship with his own brother, Esau. And he was sitting there. He knew that Esau was coming to get him. And Jacob was feeling really low and ashamed about his life. He didn't know what he was going to do. And so he ends up wrestling with God, not just in his mind, but with his body, with his soul, with his whole heart. He's wrestling with God. And in that experience, Jacob came to understand something that was most important. He came to understand how God saw him. God loved him. And God came to give him a new identity, a whole fresh new start. Jacob, you see, was not feeling very good about himself. And so God came to change that. No longer Jacob, deceiver, manipulator, con man, which is what the word Jacob means. But now he was to be Israel, prince with God. A whole new future. When Jacob learned how God saw him, he was never to be the same. He started to live his life differently. His life took on real value, meaning, worth, importance. So let's jump off of that diving board into the sea of God's purpose and plan for you by looking at another individual that I shared with you just moments ago, and his name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus lived in Jericho. The story sort of goes like this, just to recap it. Jesus was going through the city of Jericho, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was too short to see above the crowd, all of the people that were in front of him. He couldn't see. So Zacchaeus, he ran ahead to a place where Jesus might pass, and he climbs this sycamore tree so he could see him, see Jesus. It seems that Zacchaeus really did not have any plans at all to meet and to talk with Jesus, but to get a glimpse of him. But there's no question in my mind that Zacchaeus was really messed up, and he needed some help. I mean, when it came to his worth, Zacchaeus had a problem. And he was filled with guilt and shame. And this guilt and shame was ruling his life. And in a minute, we're going to see exactly why. Zac, he was a real loser. Although, when you heard that reading, maybe you came to an entirely different conclusion, because what is it that you heard? He was wealthy. Wealthy. Big deal. No, I mean it. Big deal. If you're wealthy. Listen, when it comes to how we evaluate our worth, Zacchaeus had struck out on three of the four things that I had just described to you. Affluence was all that he had. And frankly, that does not get you very far in your life. It really doesn't. Contrary to what many people may tell you, or what society may be pumping into your head again and again and again, wealth is not the gold medal of life. It is not. Ask a man who's lying in the bed facing the proposition that he might not make it through the surgery, and all the money in the world is not going to change what he's thinking. Is it, Dick? Nope. Let's look at Zacchaeus. First, he was not very happy with his appearance. He was short.
Let's be clear. I'm very happy with my appearance.
Now, Will is short. But let me tell you, he knows the advantage he has in his life, and he's very happy to be short.
My advantage is my wife.
Well, we know that. But I mean, on the pickleball court, your shortness is not a disadvantage. You can move quicker and get into places that I can't. I can't get that low. But you're already there.
That's true. You are a beast, though. You guys had to see Al play pickleball. Never played, and he's, like, amazing. He ran, like, straight into the fence, fell over, and got up like it was nothing.
Well, Heartland has to replace that fence.
It's too close. It's not your fault.
I know. Well, anyway, Zacchaeus was the shortest man in Jericho. I mean, that's what tradition tells us. He was that short. I mean, the word that was used for you got to hear this, Will. Don't.
I'm always listening. I'm just drinking. I'm listening.
You got to hear this. Zacchaeus, the word they use for him being short, translated, it means that he was a body of an undeveloped child. That means he was more than short. He was a little person. He was not fully developed. Do you think that people might have pointed that out at some point in his life as he tried to live his life and do his work? Do you think it maybe bothered him once in a while that he was so short as that? How many of you parents have ever had children? They come home from school and they're just wiped out because of what someone has said about them. I remember when I was in school, to be very honest with you, I was not the tallest person as I am now. I was very small, but I had these gigantic ears that I had to grow into, and that really bothered me. I mean, that was the time when Walt Disney was showing Dumbo. And I was called Dumbo. Absolutely. Do you know how ruthless children can be on the playground? Oh, yeah, you better believe it. Zacchaeus, no doubt, lived with a few remarks his whole life. Appearance was a big problem for Zac. Secondly, he was hated by everyone in the city. I know that he was hated because he was a tax collector. How many of you love your neighborhood tax collector? I don't think so. And not just a tax collector. What is it that we read in this reading? He was the chief tax collector. In other words, he was the man behind the plan. He was the guy motivating everything. Now, to be taxed was a terrible thing. The tax collector was nothing more than seen as a mafia extortionist back in those days. A tax collector was appointed by Rome with all of the authority and the power of Rome to get the money. Zac, being a Jew, which the Romans oftentimes used their conquered people to collect tax, because they didn't want their own people have to go through all of that, they used a conquered person. And so Zac, what was he? He was a traitor. Worse than that, he was a despicable scoundrel of a traitor. Here's the way it worked. If Rome wanted a dollar tax from someone, then the tax collector was instructed to go out and get it. And what the tax collector could do is that he could collect more than just that dollar, because any more that he could collect would go into his own pocket. And that's the way the tax collector made his money. And so if Rome wanted a dollar and the tax man could get $2, the tax man took one of the dollars and put it in his own pocket. He swindled people every day, and consequently, he was very wealthy and despised. But listen to this. A Jew becoming a tax collector meant three things. Number one, your family disowned you. They didn't want to have anything to do with you. Number two, you could not go into the synagogue where all of the other people went to worship God, because a tax collector was seen as unclean. And thirdly, you were put in a class of people that were worse than murderers. If Zac thought that his height was a limitation, well, this was absolute ruin to his popularity. And as a result, I am telling you that Zac grew to not to like himself very much. He was filled with guilt and shame. He wrestled with coming to terms with his worth, with his value. How do I know that? Because you can't have a guilty conscience and feel good about yourself at the same time. I don't care how much money you have, there is no way. He knew that he was ripping people off. He was deceitful, he was dishonest, he was a crook, and consequently, his zeal for living was becoming diminished each and every day, and he didn't know how to find it again. Life, I mean. He is definitely in need. His accomplishments were not getting him what he really wanted to be inside of himself. He was a mess. Appearance, acceptance, accomplishment were not there. What we have then here is a guy who had a lot of money but doesn't really like himself at all. A man who was lonely, a man who is miserable. No wonder he ended up in a tree and out on a limb. Literally, that's where he was in life. And he was looking and he was searching for something. And seeing Jesus changed everything. Or should I say, Jesus seeing him changed everything. In a second, his whole life was to be different. Zach came to discover what he had never found before in anything else. He discovered how much he really did matter to God. He saw his real worth. So here is what I'm saying, people. This will change your life when you see how God sees you. And I hope, if you've never seen how God sees you, really sees you, I hope you see that today. Some of you, maybe you came here today pretty down. Down on yourself. Not feeling good about yourself at all. You're looking for something. You want to feel better about yourself, but you've turned to a lot of things. It just doesn't seem to be doing it for you. You're confused. You feel very lonely, forgotten. Maybe you even feel unloved. Lord knows what could have happened. You just feel a little bit out of place. Hear me. You are in the right place. In this place, lives are changed. Because here, like Zacchaeus, you will see Jesus. And when Jesus comes to you, you won't miss the value of you. You see, no matter how insignificant I feel, Jesus notices me. No one else notices me, but Jesus does. No one else may be noticing you. That may be very true. That may be a reality, but I'm telling you, Jesus notices you. He will. He will see you. This is what Zacchaeus discovered. God knew him. God knew his name. God knows your name.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Sing that again. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And he hears me when I call.
Now Zacchaeus, you got to understand, did not want to really get personal with Jesus, but nothing is clearer in this text than the fact that Jesus really wanted to get personal with Zac. And that is what Zacchaeus definitely needed. Even even though he was not quite ready to admit it or show it. What is it that we read? He ran. He was running through the crowd. And then we also read, he was climbing a tree. Wealthy people don't do things like that. They don't run. They don't need to run. People are to run to them. They don't climb trees. It's beneath them. It's unheard of, a definite no-no. But wealth was not doing it for Zach, and he showed it. It was a shocking display, but not half as shocking as was what to follow. Jesus came up, he came by, he came toward, he walked to the very tree where Zacchaeus was at, straight to the tree where Zacchaeus was, and he stopped, and he looked up. And Zacchaeus' heart had to be racing at this point, not because of all of the running he was doing, but because his throat was tightening up. It was because the blood is pulsing. He is filled with adrenaline. And he's saying to himself, he's looking at me. Why would he be looking? He came to the tree where there's hundreds of people here. He's coming to where I'm at up here. This guy, this miracle worker that everybody thinks is so important, he's coming my direction. Why me? Who am I? That had to be him. Maybe it's you.
Who am I? That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way of my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I am yours. I am yours.
So why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus stop right there at that tree and look up? Answer. He knew that was where Zacchaeus was. I know where Will is going. I know where he's going to be at. You see, Will had to leave early today because he had to pick up his children at another church. And so I said, no problem. Just leave right in the middle of my sermon. No one else can. But here's the point. God knows exactly where you are at, where you're going, where you're headed, what you're all about. You may be up a tree. You may be out on the limb. He knows that. He knows what's going on in your little head. He knows what's going on by way of the path that you are choosing to walk on right now. You may think that God has forgotten you. You may think that he has abandoned you. He doesn't care, that you are of no significance to him at all. But he has not forgotten you. He has his eye on you. There has never been a moment when God has taken his eyes off of you. Never. He's seen every breath that you have taken. He knows every movement that you have made. He is aware of every step that you have gone, for good or for bad. Yes, he doesn't quit watching you turn and live, even if you're against him. He does not close his eyes. His eyes are wide. He looks. In fact, he follows and he sees you here today. Jesus cares for you. What a great message. You know, I think we have a hard time imagining that God pays so much attention to us in our lives because, well, frankly, many of us just don't pay that much attention to him. And that's why we have trouble. We're not paying, we just can't imagine how much time God is thinking about you and where you're at. You matter to God. People may ignore you. They may turn on you. They may abandon you. But God won't. He's seen every hurt that you have had. He's felt every sadness you have experienced, and he knows every tear that you have ever cried. He knows it all. He cares, and he reaches out. Listen, the deepest expression of love is attention. It is attention. When you give somebody your attention, you are showing them your love, your concern. When you don't pay attention to your husband, when you don't pay attention to your wife, when you're not paying attention to your children, you are being unloving. Love is giving attention. God pays attention to you. He comes to you personally right now, intimately right now. Remember when you were little and you were riding the bicycle? Remember? Watch, Mommy. Look, Mommy. Look what's going on. Look what I'm doing. You know, all of us have a deep need to be noticed. Since we were little kids, we want to be noticed. You have a need to be noticed. So we say, watch me, Daddy. Look, Daddy. Pay attention to me now. Adults do this all of the time, not just children. They are constantly saying, watch me, watch me. They don't do it the same way that children do it, but they do it by way of the clothes that they wear. Or maybe the car that they drive. Or maybe they do it by way of the shoes that they put on. Lord knows how many pairs of shoes we really need to have. We do it by way of our houses, how we take care of our lawns. Look at mine. It's better than his. We do it by all kinds of, by the way we talk. Ah, this one. How we talk. Around certain people, we talk a certain way. I'm cool. Look at me. The style of our hair, or maybe no hair. Watch me. Notice me. It's what woke is made of. You have a deep need to be noticed. And my message to you today is that God, He is always noticing you. Some people are dying to be noticed. And they are frustrated by their appearance. They are saddened by way of their accomplishments. They are disappointed by way of their friends. And forever feel that all they need is, and they don't know what. They don't know what they need. They don't know. It is then that Jesus comes right to where you're at and all you're feeling and all you're going through, and he says, Zacchaeus. Jesus calls your name. Me? I'm short. I'm a bad person. People don't like me. I'm not any good. I'm downright evil. Me? Can't be. Can't be possible. What value am I? What good am I? Why is Jesus calling my name? Hearing his name, Zacchaeus had to be ashamed. You know? I mean, do you know what the word Zacchaeus means? It means pure one. How ironic is that? It means righteousness, pure one. He knew that he was anything but pure. He was a disgrace. He was the biggest crook in town in Jericho. Everybody knew it. He's calling me. Wait a minute. He knows my name. Oh, he not only knows where I am, he knows who I am. God knows everything about you. He is personally, intimately acquainted with everything about you. And there's a lot to know about you. He's not just some impersonal force out there looking down on all of humanity. That's the way a lot of people visualize God, you know. He's not really personal with intimacy for you and you and you and me. No, he's just sort of a big kind of a thing up there that looks over everything and lets it work. He's more than that. He created you. He knows all about you. He knows everything. He made you to be what you are. His. He sees your value. He knows your potential, and he wants you to see it. You are Zacchaeus, the pure one. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus rose for you. God so loved the world that whoever, anyone and everyone who believes in him will not perish. I doubt that anyone called him pure one. I don't think they were calling him by his name at all. I think they had some other names for him. Don't you? Should we share what those names might be? I don't think so. I don't think so. So what do you think Zacchaeus' understanding of himself started to be? And here comes Jesus. He looks underneath all of the garbage, all of the junk, all of the emotional hurt, all of the pain he was experiencing, and all the things that other people had said about him. And he says, you are the pure one, aren't you? Zacchaeus, who made you a crook? How did that happen? That's not my plan for you. That's not my purpose that I have for you in your life. I want you today to head down a different road, Zacchaeus. That's why I'm stopping. That's why I'm here. I'm looking at you. That's why I'm calling out your name. While everyone else in Zacchaeus' world is putting him down, here comes God lifting him up. God comes to lift you up today. He comes to raise you up, as we sang in that opening song today. Jesus rose so you will rise. He wants you to see your worth and your value in your... Make it clear. Make it really clear. He has good things lined up for you to do today. He does. Most people, it is true. God has good things in store for them, but what do? Well, they have a choice, just like Zacchaeus, to do whatever they want to do, just like you have to do whatever you want to do. And they choose, many people, just to reject him, push him away, abandon him, and therefore they live in the guilt and the shame. They put their hope in things that will change and expect that they won't, but they do. It changes. Real worth and value is founded in that which does not change, and that is Christ. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you just as much today as when he let the people throw him on the cross, distorting his appearance, mocking his reputation, laughing at all of his accomplishments, even taking whatever he had and ripping it in two and dividing it among themselves. He had nothing left to offer to show you that he had everything to give, namely his heart and his soul, his life, which can never be taken away, which can never change. Life, people, that is what Christ comes to give you today. It is the value that is eternal and priceless. It is yours. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, although I can imagine that many of us sitting here today, we still have those tapes. Those tapes. They're still working in your brain. You know, the tape that says, you will never amount to anything. You're no good. You're not worth a hill of beans. Quit embarrassing me. Who do you think you are? And you believe those tapes, so much so that they are guiding you even today. But I tell you, they are lies. They're all lies. They are not your future. Not when you see God coming to you. Not when you see God looking right at you. Not when you hear God call your name. Not when God says he wants to be with you. So yes, God says to Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. Did you hear that? I want to come to your house. What a most important sentence in that whole reading. I want to come to your house. God sees Zacchaeus as special, so special that he wants to go to his house. He has got plans, purpose. He affirms Zacchaeus. He looks at Zacchaeus and accepts him, and now he wants to go to his house. I'm certain that Zacchaeus' head started to spin with that thought. Oh my goodness, am I good enough coming to my house? Like I said, God sees your potential. God sees your value, and he wants you to celebrate your worth and your value too. He's got a real purpose and a plan for you beyond today, in your feelings, in your thoughts about being nothing. He wants to fulfill something that he planned a long, long time ago for you in your life that makes you unique and special. So what do you do? Hearing that, well, I think you just do what Zacchaeus did. You get out of that tree. You jump out of that tree. I think you just can't help it. You can't stay up there. He wants to come to my house. In fact, knowing that he affirms you and accepts you, you realize that he loves you just the way you are. And even more so, he doesn't want to keep you that way. He wants to improve your life. Well, you've got something to move toward. It's time for you to get off that limb and start, well, forget the guilt, forget the shame. My life's going to be more. I know it is, because look at this guy. He's with me. I've got a nice new, crisp $50 bill. Who would like it? Oh, I see a few hands. Do I see more than three? Any more hands? Like, I see some more. Okay. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Let's just think about this. Who do I give it to? Let's see now. right. There we go. $50. Some dirt. There we go. Let's put some water in there too. There we go. Let's crimple it up a little bit like that. Who wants the $50 bill? Of course you do! In your hands, you see its value, don't you? Even though it's in a bunch of mud and dirt and slop, in the hands of God, your life has tremendous value. God sees it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to know it. And He wants to use you. You know, $50 can do a lot for somebody, maybe. It really can make the difference, $50. I mean, even with inflation, it could make a big difference with somebody. Almost a tank of gas, not quite. And so, do you see your value? The difference that you can make for someone? A difference between going somewhere or not going somewhere. Are you ready, like Zacchaeus, to come down out of that tree, to get off that limb? Do you see your value? Well, perhaps your attitude is going to be just like Zacchaeus. You hear what he said? Here, let me give this, he said. Here, let me do that, he said. And we read, Zacchaeus stood up right before Jesus and said to him, Lord, look, here and now I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. His generosity all of a sudden is bubbling over. Let me reach out to people like I have never done so before, Lord. I want to make a difference. That is change. Do you see your value? Are you seeing that value spill over into the lives of somebody else? If you are Zacchaeus, you do. What is your name? Are you proud of it? Jesus is calling it out today. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Wow. Good to see everybody. Wasn't Easter wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be His church? It is. Hey, on April 21st, if you look in the bulletin, you'll see we have a breakfast coming for everyone. It's free. It's going to be after worship. Who are the great cooks this year for this breakfast? Who are the ones? Tim? Marty? The great chef. All right. Okay. We got two guys here stepping forward. That's really wonderful. So, you're a volunteer? You were volunteered. Yes, Jesus. You said Marty? Yes. Marty, did you hear the skies open up? Marty, how blessed you are to have your name spoken. So, okay. God herself. Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay. So, the 21st. April 21st, and then another breakfast is coming on Mother's Day too, isn't it, Mickey? Oh, I heard that name, Mickey, the great chef Mickey, right? We'll have something going on Mother's Day too for all the ladies and guys, you know. And then a Bunko, you know, I called Kim, when is Bunko? Oh, Bunko's coming, yeah, April 2nd, is that what you said? No, May 2nd, Cinco de Bunko, right? May 2nd. Dorothy's 90th birthday, too.
She's not here today, so we can...
I noticed. Yes. We can talk about it. I didn't bring it up last week, but I asked him when it was, and I said, okay, I'll put it in the bulletin, and I put Bunko in there, right? But I forgot to put the date. It's May 2nd, Thursday, 6 o'clock. Don't miss it. Write it down, okay? Let's rise, join in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. What a great message you bring to us by way of your word, by way of a little guy by the name of Zacchaeus. We all wrestle with a lot of things, Heavenly Father. Much of the time we wrestle with our identity in our own way. But you take things into your own hands in such a remarkable way, enabling us to rise above all of our conclusions about this world, about where it's at, and we see the glory of your kingdom. We see the presence of the life you give us by way of your own Son, the victory of death itself, of sin, power over the devil. All these things are ours. You love us so much. And so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of you always. Amen.